Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Essex Talk. The Essex Talk team, that would be myself, Hope, and Nick. That's all the members of the team that could make it tonight, are joined by Crystal Penrose. Did I pronounce that right, Crystal?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Crystal is currently a CMU student here, and she's doing an internship with MasterCard. I could explain exactly what it is that you're doing, but I think I'll just let you do it yourself, Crystal. So without further ado, tell us what it is you're doing.
Okay, well, thank you for having me, first of all. And second of all, okay, so basically I'm actually an intern for MasterCard and a public relations agency called Weber Shandwick in Washington, D.C. And I actually found the internship. I'm a public relations major. It has nothing to do with finance or personal finance or anything like that, but I found this internship on a news feed, and I thought it was really interesting because I myself have had a lot of questions in the past about my personal finances. For example, last year I applied for a credit card and I got denied and I couldn't figure out why. So I took it upon myself to do this internship, and we all got flown out to D.C. There's 10 of us chosen from around the country, and I think there's been one in Canada too in the past. And we were there for 2 days, and we were just put through this awesome training program. We learned everything there is to know about the Credit Card Act and personal finance and money management. And then I took what I learned, and I brought it to CMU, and I think I've done a pretty good job so far.
Cool. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So you said you heard about the internship, and this is a program. It's called Are You Credit Wise, which is sponsored by MasterCard. Is that correct?
Right. It is sponsored by them.
Right. So you said that you heard about the internship on a newsfeed?
Yeah, it was a newsfeed. I'm actually involved on campus. I'm in an RSO, a registered student organization called PRSSA. It's Public Relations Student Society of America. And one of the perks of being in this RSO is getting internships. You get advertised internships all the time through email. There's like a newsfeed through the email. And so one of the things about being in RU CreditWise is that you do have to be involved on campus. So it was pretty good that I found on that, obviously, because I think the reason why I was chosen is because of my involvement on campus.
Oh, I see. And you said that one of the things that bothered you is that you had been denied when you applied for a credit card. And did that sort of awaken you to the whole credit law generation debt issue? My question is, was your denial of the credit card before you applied to the internship, or did that happen sort of simultaneous with that? So did that lead to you applying in part?
That was about 6 months before that I applied for a credit card and got denied. And I also, in that 6 months, had been offered a few credit cards at stores like Victoria's Secret and Kohl's and TJ Maxx. And I honestly had no idea, you know, how, I guess, bad they were, those kind of credit cards. And we learned about that. And my eyes were open, you know, to so many things just by being trained for 2 days. Like, but, you know, two days of training made me more, you know, knowledgeable about credit than probably most students that I know that are my age.
Was it like the fact that you were being offered credit cards at places like Victoria's Secret and TJ Maxx on the one hand, and then you go to apply for a credit card? Was there this disconnect in your head, like, why is it that they're offering me credit cards in these stores, but yet when I go to apply for one, I get denied? Did that happen in your head?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I was just so confused and intimidated by the whole idea of a credit card. And then I knew that this CARD Act had passed. It passed in February of 2010. And I didn't know, you know, what that was going to change for me at all. And I honestly just was so curious about things that have to do with personal finance because, you know, in a year I was graduating from college. And I just thought, wow, I should definitely know a lot more about personal finance than I do. And so that's why I'm so glad that I did this internship, because I'm always telling all of my friends, like, oh, don't apply for this. You know, look, make sure you have good APR on this credit card. And I think I've definitely been a godsend for a lot of my friends and have saved them from some pretty bad credit situations.
If I might segue, just doing Christmas shopping and stuff recently, I've always kind of known that, like, these Victoria's Secret, TJ Maxx, not that I shop at Victoria's Secret or TJ Maxx, but
these sort of
credit cards, right, okay, we won't go there, that these sort of credit cards are bad. But could you explain exactly why that is? I mean, kiss our
audience. Okay, I will. Okay, so first of all, one thing that you guys should know about those types of credit cards is that the person who's selling you the credit card doesn't actually know anything about the credit card. They don't know what the APR is, which is the annual percentage rate, which is what you're being charged if you don't pay off your balance every single month. And that's, like, the biggest thing you have to know about a credit card is if it has a high interest rate. Just, like, that's the first thing you want to know about any loan you take out. And another thing is that these credit cards from stores typically have very high APRs, usually between 24% to 30%. And they also, you know, they try to tell you that you get a lot of rewards and, well, you can save 15% today if you get this credit card. Well, yeah, that's great that you can save 15%, but in the long run, if you miss a payment and you get charged 24% interest, it really isn't that beneficial at all in the end.
Well, in terms of unethical things that I've heard, people doing is that they'll fill out the credit card information and lie about their social security number to get the credit card, get the thing from it. Does that still affect your credit score or whatever if you are applying for it but you don't give them the correct information but your name will be the same?
I think that if you give a different social security number that it might not affect you, because when you do check your credit history, one of the first things they need from you, obviously, is your social security number. But I actually don't know a lot about that. That's one thing we weren't really taught a lot about was people, you know, stealing identities and things. But that is one thing that is good about having a credit card is that, you know, you do have to fill out so much information about yourself that it really is hard to steal someone's identity.
I would say that, you know, insofar as you're not putting down your actual social security number, I'm sure that there's fine print that says, I attest that the information provided above is accurate and correct or something like that. And, you know, it's fraud because you're writing something down that you yourself do not believe to be true. So apart from, like, the credit history problem, there's also the possibility of a fraud suit.
So there you go for all you people that do that.
Is that a trend?
Yeah, especially for the free pizza at Domino's, if you fill out the credit card thing, they, like, set up at Domino's, and I know a lot of people that do that.
Wow.
Really? I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah. All of a sudden,
well,
I got free pizza.
We want it to be known that we are not endorsing this at all.
No.
Should you think that we are bypassing the argument that the reasonable person may infer that we're endorsing this, but no, we do not. In fact, it's bad in many ways.
Sorry, fraud being one of them. Continue on, yes.
Mike, did you have something to say?
No, Nick covered it.
Hmm.
I do want to say one thing, though. The thing about store credit cards is that so many people have them. Like, do any of you guys actually have a store credit card?
No.
I do, actually, yes. I do.
Do you?
But I'm not a student, so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I always
Why,
ask,
if you're a student, would that make much of a difference?
Are you asking me or Crystal?
Whoever.
Crystal, take it away.
Well, obviously, I'm sure you have a lot more money than I do. At least I'm a student. And yeah, but one of the questions I ask in my presentations that I give on campus, that's basically what the whole point of my internship is, to give presentations on campus. We're given this PowerPoint that they make for us, and we can change it and alter it to make it fit our school specifically, but I give this presentation to classes mostly of freshmen because that's our target audience. We really want to catch students early before they start, you know, getting credit cards, and then they end up graduating and they have all this debt racked up. So anyways, mm-hmm. I give these presentations, and one of the first questions I ask them is, you know, how many people have a credit card? And a lot of them, one of the experiences I had is almost everybody thinks they have a credit card, but they actually just have a debit card, and they use it as credit at stores, and they think that that's a credit card. And that's one of the most shocking things I've, I guess, come in contact with about, you know, this whole internship thing, because I just didn't realize how uninformed students were about credit cards. They didn't even know really what a credit card was.
Right. They just think that if it's like this plastic card that I can use in a store, and
mm-hmm.
since debit cards share that property, then a debit card is a credit card because they, like, look identical or something like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That's
very
think.
Scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Going back
and
to
then,
your... Go ahead.
Oh, no, you can go. It's okay.
Okay, thanks. But going back to this PowerPoint that you said, Matt, the Are You Credit Wise program gives you, and you can add slides that are specific to the university that you're working with, and I was wondering if you could share, you're sharing some of the information that you're getting from giving this,
yeah,
this PowerPoint
definitely.
Presentation. But I've seen the PowerPoint presentation also, and I've seen some statistics in there that are local to the CMU population, and I was wondering if you could share some of those.
Yeah, well, first of all, there's six parts to the PowerPoint. It's, you know, budgeting, understanding your credit history, establishing good credit, managing your credit card, managing student loans, and then finally in the PowerPoint we present alternatives to credit cards. And so I focus a lot on the budgeting part because one of the, you know, most proactive things a student can do is right now to be financially literate and be responsible, fiscally responsible, is to budget and to save money. So I really just suggest a lot of ways that students can save money on campus. For example, I say, you know, we have taxis that we take around campus when we go out at night. So I say, you know, instead of taking the $3 taxi, you can take the $2 taxi. And if you do that five times a weekend, if you take a taxi around, that ends up being saving $300 in 1 year just by taking a taxi that's $1 cheaper. And I just really try to put things that seem so small into perspective for students so that they realize, like, oh, wow, like maybe saving $1 does really add up in the end.
Hmm.
And then I also, one thing that I also do in the beginning of my presentation is I ask students, I say, I want you to take out a piece of paper and I want you to write down everything you've spent, every single penny you've spent on food or drinks or just, you know, fast food, coffee, things like that. And one student said that he spent like $150 a week because he goes to like Qdoba and restaurants like at least twice a day and he gets coffee. And so then once these students have this number, I tell them to multiply it by 52 because that's the 52 weeks in the year. And then that like helps students put into perspective how much money they're spending just on food and things they don't even really need. And yeah, one of the students had $9,000 he spends a year on food and drinks and alcohol and things like that. And so that really opened his eyes, and he was shocked. And he actually came to me after the presentation and said, well, thank you. Like, I honestly don't think I'm going to go out to eat as much as anymore because I didn't realize how much money I was spending. So that definitely...
Have you followed up with him?
No, I haven't. I did get his name, and he did add me on Facebook, so maybe I will have to ask him in a couple months, like, oh, you know, have you actually not been eating fast food twice a day?
Yeah.
So, but that was one thing. Although I was really uninformed as a student before this internship, I was always really smart with my money. And, you know, I don't go out to eat. I make my own food, and, you know, and I also try to donate my plasma. That's something, I'm not sure if you guys know about that, but that's something that Central Michigan students can do. It's right by our school, and you get like $200 a month for doing that, just for sitting there and donating your plasma. And that's another thing, you know, that a lot of students don't know
about.
And
you get time to do your homework.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You can go on your
computer.
I'm
sorry, but that's just scary to me. When I went to college, which was, you know, we're talking about the days when the credit card companies were just starting to make their presence on college campuses. And I didn't even have a credit card. I had checks. It goes back that far.
What are checks?
But I remember when the Plasma Bank opened up here, and it was a few years ago, and I remember some very good students saying, yeah, I'm going to go donate some plasma because I need money. What we did is actually sell CDs if we needed money. Do you guys do that anymore?
No.
Because you don't even have CDs anymore.
There's some CDs, yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I'm just trying to put things in perspective for our listeners who may be from a different generation. And yes, plasma, donating plasma is ubiquitous. Is it a norm?
I'd say it's very normal, yeah, for people that need money, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard actually to even get an appointment there because they're so busy and they're booked all the time. If you call right now, you probably wouldn't be able to get in for like a month.
And how much do you get for plasma?
What is it, 50? No, it's 20 your first time, and then the second time you go, it's 25.
Yep.
Something like
that. And then you can do it twice a week, and so you end up getting, you know, pretty decent amount of money. They actually just recently lowered the amount of money you get, because I remember you used to get 30 your first time and like 40 your second, but they just lowered it, probably because it was so popular.
I just want to say that this is a call-in show, and if you want to call in, we are taking calls, 646-727-3928. If you're from a different generation where you did not give up biological material for money and want to share that, feel free to do so. But going back to – and does anybody have any idea as to whether the plasma thing is unique to CMU, or is that sort of – the norm amongst college students today, that plasma banks are sprouting up near universities, for instance? Does anybody know that?
I don't know anybody else. And at least I have a lot of friends who go to Michigan State University, University of Michigan, and they've never heard of that before.
Wow.
I remember seeing an SNL skit, and I think it was Will Ferrell, who is a college student donating plasma. My intuition is that it's kind of an archetype, you know, with a college student donating some biological material for money. I'll look into that, though. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that would be interesting to find out. It's BioLife is the company that's here in Mount Pleasant, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Also,
yes, yes.
BioLife. Yeah, okay. Oh, there is a caller, so I'm going to take that.
Okay.
Bear with me. Caller, you're on Ethics Talk. Do you have a question about credit, plasma, anything?
Hi, actually, my name's Rachel. I'm calling all the way from Virginia. And I had a quick question for Crystal.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm really good.
So I'm wondering if since you started the RU CreditWise program, have your personal spending habits changed or your personal credit habits?
Yes, they have, especially this Christmas. I definitely set out a budget. I think in August I decided how much money I'm going to spend on every single family member, and I put the money aside, and I've actually been working towards Christmas gifts and spring break, and I have about $500 set aside for Christmas and $500 set aside for spring break, and I can tell you right now that last Christmas I had about $10 set aside for Christmas presents. So I definitely do think that I'm much more responsible with my money now than I was then. And I also just, like I said before, I'm like the guru when it comes to credit questions that all my friends have. All my friends always come to me and say, oh, I really want to apply for this credit card. Do you think this is good? And they'll show me the form for it. And it's kind of funny. I feel like, you know, the money therapist or something.
All right, cool. Thanks, Crystal.
Oh, no problem, Rachel. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Guys, have a good one.
You too.
Okay.
Well, that was interesting. I'm glad we got somebody from Virginia.
So going back to these CMU statistics, could you tell us some more? I know you are knowledgeable about the indebtedness of CMU students and the average amount of debt that they have, both credit card and student loan-wise. Can you share that information with us?
Yes, actually, okay, so when I did set up the internship, I got, you know, really into this, and I wanted to find out exactly where CMU was on, you know, this whole national level of personal finance and having personal finance courses and everything. And I do know that Central does have a personal finance course, but there's actually only 4 states in America that require a personal finance course. So that was one thing I thought that was interesting. And another thing that I looked at that you just mentioned is the debt at CMU. I thought this was very shocking. Our average student debt is about $27,000, and ironically, there was an article written about it by a reporter for Central Michigan Life, our student newspaper, and her name is Teresa Clift, and she wrote an article about how student debt has skyrocketed in the past 5 or 10 years, and the national average for student debt is actually only $20,000. So I thought it was interesting that Central, which is usually known as a pretty inexpensive school, actually has student debt that is $7,000 higher than the national average. And
now, Crystal, is that only student loans, or is that both student loans and credit card debt, or other debt aside from student loans?
That is exclusive of credit card debt. The actual average graduate of college has about $4,000 in credit card debt. So if you put everything together, the average Central Michigan University student has about $31,000 in debt. And that's just the average, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know some outliers.
So do I.
Yeah,
I know
too.
Somebody who graduated with $60,000 in debt.
Well, I actually presented to...
No, go ahead.
Sorry. I actually presented to a first-year experience teacher's class. I'm not sure if she wants me to share her name, but she actually had $250,000 in student loans that she is still paying back to this day. I think she's 47 years old, so... I thought that was
Is she a PhD in, like, 2 things? Or?
I think she is a PhD, but I'm not sure where she went to school, but it probably wasn't a very cheap school, I'm guessing.
Well, I think, actually, I don't remember this being addressed in the PowerPoint, and maybe you can't speak to it, but I remember when I went to law school, there were students taking out, there's your general federal student loans, and also private loans. Can you speak to the difference between the two and why private loans are maybe you should shy away from those?
Yeah, I wouldn't exactly say that you should shy away from private student loans because there's actually, you know, there's a lot of loopholes or just a lot of things about student loans that make it hard for some students to take them out. The government loans that are through the school, they usually have a lower interest rate than private loans.
Mm-hmm.
It's only about a 1% difference, but like I said, if you're taking out $250,000 in loans, it does end up adding up. But it's just nice because usually you go through FAFSA and the student loans through your school, and they're very flexible, you know, with paying back. They usually give you about a 6-month leeway. From the day you graduate, you have about 6 months to come up with some money to start making payments. And then also a really good thing about government loans is that you can change your repayment plan at any time. So if you think you're going to be making a lot of money when you first get out of college and then you don't actually end up getting a job, you can change your repayment plan at any time. They're very flexible. And then also if you lose your job or if something happens, like a financial emergency, I'm not exactly sure what the term is. If you guys know what the term is called, please help me out. But where you can basically get a period of time where you don't pay back loans and you're not actually charged interest for it.
It's subsidized or unsubsidized loans.
No, that's not it.
That's how it is for me. That's what I know.
No, but she's talking about a case in which you're in repayment and then something happens and then you ask to go out of repayment, but it's sort of like, it's like a grace period, but not.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I don't remember the term for it either.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. My apologies.
I do know that is something that government loans have, but I'm not sure if private loans have them. And then another thing about private loans is that usually, they don't have that flexible of a repayment plan. And then a lot of them are through banks. And banks, like I said, they usually charge much higher interest. And
yeah,
obviously that's one of the things that you need to look into when you're borrowing money from somebody, is how much you're going to end up paying them back in the end.
Yeah.
So, definitely.
Mike, you've been quiet. Do you have anything to say?
Well, I do actually have a question. Not really relevant. I was thinking grace periods, too. I don't know anything about the type of loan. But I wanted to ask you, Crystal, if we can sort of segue back to about you. You talked about this training that you went through for MasterCard. What exactly did this training consist of? I mean, I think you mentioned something about a seminar, or?
Yeah, we are actually flown to Washington, D.C., and we go. We got there, and one of the first things, you know, we did is we just got a, like, we had somebody that came in and talked to us about several different aspects of our internship. We had somebody come in and talk to us about the PowerPoint specifically that we would be presenting. They actually presented it to us, and with that, they got really into detail and told us everything, you know, everything there is to know about the CARD Act, about budgeting, about student loans, repayment plans. I mean, really, honestly, everything there is to know. And then we also had somebody come in and try to kind of coach us on how to speak in public, which is, I thought that was very helpful. Mm. And then we also just, you know, had somebody from MasterCard come in and talk to us. And then somebody also came in and talked to us about the importance of this program. And I think, you know, that this program isn't only important, but I think it's really needed, especially at Central Michigan University. That's what a lot of administrators that I've come into contact with have said. I actually met with the dean of students, Bruce Roscoe, and he, when I met him and we talked and I described him the program, he was sort of like, you know, where have you been all this time? Like, I wish you would have had you 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I've basically had so many administrators and teachers just come to me with open arms and say, please present to my classes. I want to work with you. And it's just, it's been quite an experience. I kind of drifted away from the training aspect of my program. But back to the training part, actually, I think the fact that we were trained with other students and we got to talk with other students and work with other students. It wasn't just, you know, sitting at a table and learning all day. We got to communicate and do activities where we just practice speaking in front of each other, and we get to ask questions about, you know, personal finance and things like that. And I just thought it was really interactive, and it really helped me learn a lot about money management.
Sure. So when are you going to graduate, Crystal?
I actually graduate this upcoming May.
Okay, so does this program end when you're done here, or, I mean, how long will we be attached to MasterCard?
Okay, so every single year they do this program. It's every fall. It's actually been in effect for 12 years now, and I think in 12 years they've been to 80 schools, and it's usually just for the fall semester, but since it's been so successful at Central, I actually am going to continue on doing it a little bit into next semester. I am going to be holding an event with MasterCard. MasterCard's actually going to be flying out to Central Michigan University, and this is kind of in the works right now, but I'm really excited about it because it's basically going to be a panel discussion, and so that's something to look forward to in the future. But actually, one of the problems, you know, with this is that I am only here for 1 year. And so I actually met with Jason Bentley, who is the director of first year experience at Central, and he decided that it'd be really helpful and, you know, good, beneficial for students if I made a video module that just basically went over the curriculum there is for RU CreditWise. So it has 6 different videos, and they're about 10 minutes long. And I basically just go through and give students personal finance 101 course in 6 different videos. And we're actually working on that right now. We're going to start filming it in the beginning of next semester. So I'm really excited about that because I can at least keep the legacy going, I guess, once I leave campus through this video.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited. We've been working on the script a lot, and I just think that this is something that could even be played at orientation for freshmen, because one of my goals of this semester was to try to push the school, Central, to have a personal finance course be required for freshman orientation. Because really, you know, you learn about all these things in college, but do you ever really learn about how to manage your money? You really don't. And so I think this would be something great to have, you know, one of your first few months at school, at college. Like, did you guys ever take a personal, as students, Mike and Nick, did you guys ever take a personal finance course or anything at Central so far?
I did not.
No. I haven't heard of one either, but the only issue is, I mean, requiring a class like that can be a little bit tricky, can it? I mean, because it doesn't fulfill any requirement other than, you know, an arbitrary, oh, you have to take this class. I mean, it's
well,
not clear that it does anything for you beyond that.
I mean, there are, at the curricular level, you guys have heard of UPs, and one can argue, make the argument that this should be part of, like, the general education program, because this is something that all students need to know. And since we're on that topic, you know, this goes to the issue of, really, is it, you know, the university? I mean, I agree. There's a huge, we are largely uninformed, not only at the student level, but also adults. I mean, with the mortgage crisis and everything that's happening now, it's not just students who are not credit-wise. I would say that the American people are not credit-wise. And, you know,
it's
one...
their country's debt.
Like, and, you know, one question is, Crystal, now we're going to get, you know, quasi-philosophical. you know, why? Why are we in this position where there's so much ignorance on the part of everybody, quite frankly, about credit and the CARD Act that just passed? I mean, I can tell you that I've seen my credit card statements change because it now says if you pay the minimum amount, you will pay off this amount by this year, and if you pay it more than the minimum, so there's, you know, information that's more precise for the borrower. But apart from that, there's still, I think, great ignorance about credit. And there's also a misuse of it. And why do you think that is?
I don't think it's necessarily ignorance. I think it's intimidation. I actually found a study on creditcards.com, and it said that one of the most uncomfortable things for people to talk about is their credit. And, you know, for me, for example, I just assumed that everybody else in the world knew everything there was to know about credit cards, and I was the only one who didn't know anything. And so I honestly felt stupid asking, you know, going to my bank and saying, oh, well, I don't know anything about credit cards. Can you tell me about them? Because usually if you go to a bank and do that, they're going to say, oh, yeah, I have a great credit card for you. Like, here, it has a 50% interest rate. Like, here you go. And so that's honestly why I never even bothered asking. I guess, like, a lot of students could probably relate to me. And maybe, I guess, in turn, with the intimidation, I guess it does turn into ignorance because it's just something that you're scared to even bother looking at. For example, you know, your credit history. I don't know anybody, actually, until I started this internship who had actually looked at their credit history. And you can actually go and look at it for free online. There's actually a website called freeannualcreditreport.com. And with that, there's three government agencies that allow you to check your credit report once every 12 months. So technically, you can check your credit report or your credit history four times a year. And that's something you definitely want to do 6 months before you make a big purchase or something like that. And like I said, students don't even know what their credit history is. And so when I give my presentations, I tell them, I say, well, how would you like going through college and not knowing your GPA or your grades? It's the same thing as not knowing your credit history, too.
Anybody else want to speculate as to why? So there's this intimidation factor, and we're sort of like embarrassed to reveal that we're ignorant. But anybody else want to speculate, or maybe perhaps you disagree with the premise that we are not credit-wise? And I would also say that, you know, Anya Kamenetz wrote a book called Generation Debt, great book, and there's a link to it on our show resources page at ethicstalk.cmish.edu. But, you know, I would say that our spending habits are not exactly healthy. And I don't know, do you disagree with that, Crystal? Do you agree? I mean, what's your thought about how Americans are spending their money?
I definitely agree that Americans are spending way too much money, because the thing is they spend, and then, you know, at the end of the month, they don't even really bother. You know, if you don't have a credit card, for example, students will keep swiping their debit card, and then they will never bother to look at their online billing statement or their banking statement. And so they just keep swiping their card until it says, you know, declined. And then they'll realize, oh, I don't have any money now, so time to call mom and get some money. And that's something that I know so many students do. Another thing that students do is I know so many people who are spending their loan refund money and their loan money on things that they don't need. For example, Christmas presents or spring break trips or things like that. I know so many people who, I know a few friends that right now actually just bought their tanning memberships for Christmas break with their loan money. And they really, mm-hmm. they just don't think it's going to affect them in the future. They just think that they're invincible and that, you know, they're young now. And so, you know, why would this still stay on their credit history when they're older? But actually they don't realize that, you know, if you are making mistakes and missing payments and overdrawing and on your credit limit, like that's going to stay on your credit history for 7 to 11 years. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, nobody knows.
I'm going to say in part it's ignorance, in part it has to be something else, because I truly don't think that many people, like, don't recognize that they're going to have to pay this back at some point. I think people recognize that, and I think, I mean, so, for example, Crystal, when you walked into your bank and you were going to ask them about that credit card, in the back of your mind, I'm guessing that maybe three things were going on. One being that you knew that you were going to be able to take out money that you didn't necessarily have, hence the name credit. And then at some point, you're going to have to pay that back and that there's going to be interest on it. I mean, those mm-hmm. three things, I think, are fundamental in people's minds about credit, about dealing with credit cards. I mean, or is that, do you think I'm wrong on that fact?
No, I think you're definitely right, but, you know, I don't know if you even experienced this, but, yeah, so many students do know they have to pay it back, but they just don't care right now. It's not going to affect them now,
right.
And so they don't have to worry about it.
And that I think, is different than ignorance. I think there is this, it's almost an apathy towards what's going on that, oh, well, you know. And you know what's funny to me is as I look at it and I go, well, look what the federal government's doing, you know. Like, are they really any different than a college student just out of control spending? I mean,
mm-hmm.
What did we do, double our debt in the last 6 years or something?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to think that, you know, they're doing the same thing that these college kids are doing, and I don't think it's an ignorance. I think it's, you know, it's just the same kind of apathetic, like, well, I guess it doesn't matter right now because this will be cool for right now. But, yeah, when the system crashes in on itself and all of a sudden, you know, somebody's asking for your money, then all of a sudden it becomes real, you know. And that's why, in my mind, I think we're going to have a financial downfall here in a little bit. And so I don't know if it's apathy or if it's just a lack of prudence, just not being able to project into the future well enough to understand, to put yourself into a future self and say, hey, this is where I'm going to be. Yeah, I can't really speak to that. And I think, you know, we live in a very materialistic society. And so people define themselves by the clothes that they wear and the cars that they drive. And, you know, I think that definitely plays a role in, you know, building yourself up on this identity that you're not really a part of or you're not really sustaining. And
mm-hmm.
I guess the thing that I try to think about is, you know, just being, you know, to being able to sustain myself. And frankly, I can't do it right now. I'm taking out loans and I still go to mom and dad and say, hey, can I get a little bit of money, you know, here and there. But, you know, the idea of being able to sustain yourself. And I don't think this country is in a place where we're anywhere near being able to sustain ourselves, nor is the individual. And, so I really feel just that there's this definitely a national issue with fiscal responsibility.
Mm-hmm. I think it even goes further than money, too. You know, our whole nation, our culture, our generation lives by the quote, you know, live for today. Like, it's all about today.
Right.
Worry about tomorrow. And, for example, I studied abroad this past summer, and my best friend, she, you know, this was in May, and she's still paying back her credit card bills from being there. She just went, I think she exceeded her credit limit like 2 or 3 times when she was abroad, and she didn't care. She said, oh, you know, I'll pay for it when I pay for it. And they don't realize that by doing that, they're ruining their credit history. So when they want to buy an apartment, I mean, one of the things about your credit history that most people don't know is that, first of all, if you ever want to buy an apartment, your landlord, when you're applying, one of the first things to do is to check your credit. If you have horrible credit, they're not going to want you to live there because they know you're not going to pay your rent every single month or you're not going to keep up with it. And another thing that a lot of students don't realize, or even, you know, not even students, just adults, is that their future employers look at their credit history as well. You know, they don't want to hire somebody who has horrible credit history, because that just shows, you know, that they're all together just not responsible. And if they can't handle their own credit, you know, why would they be able to handle somebody else's business for a job? And that's one thing that I tell all students in my presentations, because, you know, even just me coming and saying, oh, this is important, isn't enough for students. They do need to know, like, this is specifically how it's going to affect you in the future. And I hope that at least helped a little bit, help students open their eyes to being fiscally responsible.
Crystal, I'm glad you brought up the live for today mentality, because I find that especially the college culture holds that mentality of kind of live for today, and perhaps it's just a young adult perspective to kind of live for today. And you see that transcend into almost every part of their lives, where it's like, I feel that's why a lot of students, you know, show up to class only as much as they need to get by, to get a C, you know, and you know, maybe that's not even fair. I think that's why a lot of kids flunk out, too, is this live-for-today mentality that I don't know, I find associated somewhat with the Beat Generation, which, as an English major, you may be familiar with, Jack Kerouac, Hunter S. Thompson, those kind of guys that are, I don't know, live through debauchery, and it's kind of like this fun ride and see how long I can ride it out. But, you know, in my mind, I find just a lack of, you know, prudence on their part. And, you know, a lot of those old guys were falling apart and, you know, or took their own lives at the end of it. And it's just, you know, it's kind of, I guess it's a really sad thing. But at the same time, it's hard to say, you know, like, imagine that you know, I don't know.
Sorry, if I may interject.
Please, I'm rambling.
But going back to this live for today mentality, you know, sorry for beating a dead horse, but to quote an excellent philosophy professor here, it's a horse that needs to be beaten. and that is we fail to recognize, and what I really like about the RU CreditWise program is that they stress, you know, promoting healthy financial, quote, habits. And, you know, this sort of routine, like this routine and this behavior that's healthy. And the notion of habit is really, really crucial here, because what people fail to realize is that, and Crystal, your friend, who basically says, look, I'll worry about it when I worry about it, and, yeah, she is setting up a behavior pattern in herself so that as long as she gets away with it for so long a period of time, she will keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it, and will become the norm and the normal routine for her. And the sad thing is, and I think this is true with, you know, going back to Nick's point about the financial dis-ease of this country, you know, I think we could say the same thing about the behavior of Wall Street and so forth, that they just kept doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this until, you know, the rug fell out, and now to solve it, we're doing it. And I just want to say that there's this failure of us to realize that what we do today, when we say live for today, is going to affect how we are able to act in the future, not just in terms of I won't be able to rent an apartment, but I'm really, you know, molding my motivational system and how I actually, you know, operate in the world with the decisions that I make today. I'm shaping my character. That's how Aristotle would put it. So I just wanted to say that, you know, there's this failure to recognize that the decisions that you make today do affect who you become. And just to end with a quote, it's not a quote, it's more like a platitude or an aphorism from an Indian philosopher who says, if you want to see where you're going to be in 20 years, look at what you're doing now, and that will give you some clue. I just want to say that. Mike, you've been quiet.
Well, again, you know, I don't want to segue the conversation, but what I've kind of been wondering, Crystal, you alluded at the beginning of the show to these changes in legislation. I think you said in 2010, I don't remember what you called it, but there was going to be some change about the way credit cards affect us or something of this nature?
Right. Okay, it's called the CARD Act, and it actually came into effect in February, and that's something that Obama passed. And basically how it's affecting us is the biggest thing that students, I guess, should care about is that now if you're under 21 years old, you can't get a credit card. And if you want to get a credit card, you have to have a co-signer. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a parent. It can just be somebody who has a job or has established credit just to prove, you know, that you will be able to pay this money back that you borrow. And that's something that most, you know, I know a lot of 18-year-old college students who say, oh, I'm going to go get a credit card, and, they have no idea that this CARD Act has passed. And so that's why I think it's important for students to know about this, is because they should know that, you know, in order to get a credit card, you actually have to have a co-signer, which preferably should be a parent and not somebody you meet at a bar. But another thing with the Credit Card Act is that it bans credit card companies from being able to come to student campuses, college campuses, and basically just trying to advertise to students. From what I hear in the past at Central Michigan University specifically, there have been credit card companies just lined up in the university center saying, you know, if you get a free T-shirt, you get a free T-shirt if you sign this form to get this card. And students are like, oh, cool, a free T-shirt. They just see, again, the now. Like, I'm going to look for today. I got a free T-shirt today. Let's not worry about the credit card that I'm going to rack up later for getting this credit card. And another thing is that, Dr. May, you did mention how you've seen your credit card statement change. Well, actually, now they do have to tell you, you know, how much money you have to pay a month to pay off your balance in a certain amount of time, or how much interest you're going to rack up by not paying this off every single month. And then another great thing is that they actually have to send you your billing statement 21 days before it's due. And one thing that credit card companies did before is that they didn't actually send you your credit card statement until after it was due. And that's not all companies, but just some companies did this. And that really just, you know, put consumers' backs against the wall. And so I think that this act has been, you know, tremendously beneficial for people when it comes to credit cards.
Interesting, because I've definitely seen, you know, Obama on talks and whatnot talk about how he fixed credit, quote-unquote, but I didn't know the substance of the legislation until you just told me, so thank you. Very interesting.
No
short anecdote. I don't know how relevant this is, but I think it's kind of funny. You're talking about these credit card companies, like, around campus, you know, handing things out. When I was a freshman, I signed up for a Discover card. They ran some promotion where if you, like, signed up on this particular day, they would also... are you familiar with this credit, I can't remember the name of it, this commercial, the man advertises his social security number on TV and, like, challenges people to steal his identity? It was like LifeLock or something like that?
Right.
No, I actually didn't see that.
Well, okay, well, anyway, it's the service you sign up for that protects you from having your identity stolen or having, you know, your amount of money taken from bank accounts. Anyway, I signed up for an early ancestor of that was offered by Discover Card, basically for free as long as you open a credit card with them. Well, long story short, I know it's already too late, but I'll try and save it. My Discover Card was actually canceled. After like 2.5 years, I got a letter from Discover Card saying you haven't used your card by X such. I'd never once used it, so they canceled it because they were actually losing money on my account because I had gotten this free service. I don't know, kind of entertaining.
Were you using it? Did you use Life or the precursor of LifeLock?
Well, I don't know if I used it or not. I mean, I did a lot of shopping online, so I don't know how that affected me. That was my thought at the time. Like, cool, I'll just abuse the system and, you know, be protected. My identity actually ended up getting stolen, so I guess it didn't work that well, but whatever.
Wow. That's interesting because... Actually, you know, I cannot believe they sent you a letter saying that your credit card was being canceled because, you know, typically credit card companies want you to keep your credit line open longer because, I mean, it also helps you because the longer that you have a credit line open or an account open in your name, the better your credit score is going to be. And actually, when you do first open a credit card or apply for a credit card, I don't know if you guys noticed, but your credit score does drop by very little, and it's very easy to bring it back up. But just because of the fact that the longer, you know, longer length you have of credit history, the better your credit is. And so I think it's very interesting that they told you that they're canceling it.
You know, I really couldn't tell you. I don't really remember the. I might still have it somewhere, though. And it was something to the effect of, yeah, this free service you signed up for is like we're phasing it out or something like that. So.
Yeah. Speaking of free services, I do encourage anybody who is listening to this, I do encourage everybody, and even Nick and Mike, I encourage you guys as well to, honestly, you know, as soon as you get done listening to us or doing the show, to go on annualcreditreport.com and look at your credit history, because that's really the first step in, you know, realizing where you're at financially. Like, do I have bad credit? Do I have good credit? What can I improve? It gives you a lot of information on things that you might may not even know. And a lot of students don't even think that they have credit established, but actually only 2% of students don't have any credit established by the time they graduate. So I definitely encourage everybody to do that. And also another free service that I think is really helpful that I actually personally use is a website called mint.com. And mm-hmm. It's basically a budgeting, it's a budgeting tool that you can even hook it up to your cell phone, and it basically, you put in information about your bank account. It's very secure, and it figures out how much money you have to spend on things like groceries and, you know, just miscellaneous things every single month. And it also, you know, alerts you when you have bills due. And it's really helpful because it does all the thinking for you, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and I just want to say that we have a link to mint.com on our show resources page, ethicstalk.cmish.edu, as well as a couple of articles on Crystal. I also want to say that there's 8 minutes left, and so if you want to call in, 646-727-3928, it's time to make that call because we only have now 7 minutes remaining. So, but yeah, mint.com is on our show resources page.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead.
Another quick question for you, Crystal. One of my old colleagues at work had this idea that he was going to do for his children. I don't know whether it was good or bad. You can give me your input. His idea was that when his children turned 18, he was going to get credit cards in their names and then just sort of carry like a $200 balance on them and pay them each month, but never actually give the credit cards to his children. The idea being that, you know, when the time came for them to get a mortgage or a house or something like that, they would already have a credit history built up, you know, in a good number. What do you think about that?
I'm not sure if that's the best idea because I think I think it'd be a better idea if a parent got a student a credit card when they're 18 and said, okay, listen, you have this credit limit and you're allowed to spend this much money, but you have to pay it back at the end of the month. And because, I mean, really, if your parents get you a credit card and they're paying off the balance every single month, when you get that credit card, you may not be so strict on yourself by saying, okay, I have to pay this back. Because in the back of your mind, you're so used to your parents paying it. So, but I mean, for me, I always recommend students to have their parents co-sign them and have get them a credit card as soon as they feel they're ready. And then just, you know, if you're not, you don't even have to use a lot. Just, you know, spend gas money on it, and you're still building credit. It's the whole idea of building credit because it takes you 6 months to establish credit, actually. Once you open a credit card, you have 6 months from that day to start establishing credit. And, you know, there's so many things you can't do in the real world that if you don't have credit built. And that's another thing that students don't know. So that's why, another reason why I feel that this program is so needed at college campuses.
So you think that students would be better served by sort of learning how to budget properly themselves than having mom and dad do it for them?
Right, exactly. Because it makes you, you know, really be proactive and take responsibility
sure.
for yourself and not have your parents do it for you.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Mary, are you going to say something too?
Yeah, it's really not a question. It's just, you know, a funny story. But I remember when I was in, I believe it was junior high, there was a teacher there who actually did not have any credit cards because she, quote, wanted to be off the grid. And I wonder if that's even possible anymore. I mean, what are some of the things that you cannot do if you don't have credit? And is it the only way to establish credit is to have a credit card or some sort of loan, like a car loan, so forth? Go ahead.
Yeah, you can establish credit just by one way I do it is that I put my utilities bill for my apartment in my name. If you have an account in your name, then you're going to be building credit if you're making the payments on time every single month.
Okay.
So that's definitely something that I encourage students to do if they don't want to get a credit card. But, I mean, there's so many things that, I mean, first of all, if you don't have established credit because of the economy, you can't actually get a credit card unless you do have a cosigner, or at least, you know, it's very hard to. And I think that's one of the reasons why I didn't actually get approved for a credit card a year ago, because I didn't have anything in my name. And so that's, you know, in this economy especially, that's why students need to know that it's so important to build credit, and not just any credit, it's important to build good credit. Because with good credit, you can get good interest rates on loans and mortgages, and you can get good interest rates on, you know, just any money that you borrow. And I just think it's so vital.
Going back to putting the utilities bill in your name, I actually subscribe to a credit report service called True Credit. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's like a breakdown of everything. In terms of if there's been people applying for credit cards in my name, it's a way to monitor identity theft as well as your credit history. And on that, it doesn't say anything about utilities bills or anything like this. And so do you know that whether your credit score – I know, of course, if, like, I stop paying my utilities bills, there's going to be – I forget what the word is, but – a delinquency. I would imagine that goes on to my credit report and goes into my credit score, or is the credit score just an amalgam of credit cards and loans? Because utility is not, traditionally speaking, a loan.
I'll try to summarize this very fast since I know we do only have 2 minutes, but your credit score and your credit report are actually two different things. Your credit report is like the red ink you get on a paper when you get a paperback. It's telling you what you did wrong. And then your credit score is the grade you get. And the credit score, you can't actually get that for free. You have to buy that. I think about 10% of your credit score is made up of payments that you make, if they're late or missed. So you're, you know, one-tenth of your credit score is determined by payments that are in your name.
Okay.
So,
my cell phone isn't on there, for instance, like this thing that I subscribe to, but whatever. It's neither here nor there with the 2 minutes remaining. I don't want to belabor the point.
Yeah, exactly. But, I don't know, in the end, I mean, I just really hope that this year I at least open eyes to some administrators at Central, and even we're trying to get some elected officials to come to my event so that we can really try to push people in Michigan, you know, all around to just even just have something like RU CreditWise. It's a free service that, you know, a group of students do that just basically try to inform students on, you know, financial literacy and money management. And I really hope that, you know, that's the ultimate goal of my program, is just to open people's eyes and make them realize how important it really is.
Cool. Well, we have like 90 seconds left, and I just want to say, Crystal, I speak on behalf of Nick and Mike that we would like to have you back, because I feel like we're just starting to scratch the surface here, and especially there are these deeper issues that we were sort of dancing around, like living for today and why, like where does that come from, what's happening with financial health of the country, and there are these broader issues that I think you would have a great input on. So we would like to have you back if you're interested.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to come back. I really enjoyed the show.
Great.
Thanks. We did too.
Yeah,
Mike,
thank you guys.
Close it out? Sorry.
Oh, no, I just want to say thanks everybody for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a pleasure. Mike, you want to close it out?
This has been Ethics Talk. We'd like to thank you for joining us, and we'd like to thank Crystal again for being on the show. We hope this has given you some idea of how to be credit wise if you weren't already credit wise. If you have any additional questions or and any interest in the show, shoot us an email and we'll see what we can do for you. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.
Good night.